are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Went to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to first pitch is on. The countdown to tip-off is on as the National Basketball regular season approaches. It's time to break it down. Dave Malinsky will step up and in straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to run the gauntlet with Dave. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk basketball with the professor Dave Malinsky. His column, Vegas Point Blank, on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. It's a great daily column. It'll make you much smarter and it'll help you make money. The Tony Sincotta will join us to help us make some money. We're going to talk NFL DFS, maybe kick the tires on a little NBA DFS as well with the Tony Sincotta. And speaking of the NBA, yeah, NBA tip-off, who better to join us than Coach Nick, B-Ball Breakdown. B-BallBreakdown.com's Coach Nick steps up and in as well. We got a ton of stuff to get to on the program. We've got some afternoon baseball. Well, let's call it evening baseball. We got some night baseball. I'm seeing it's pretty windy out there in Chicago today as well. Yu Darvish on the hill against Kyle Hendricks. We got McCullers versus Sonny Gray. Astros and Yankees. We're going to break that down with the professor. We'll get Tony Sincotta's opinion on that as well. Coach Nick will have no opinion on the baseball. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to get to, man. Following last night's Monday night football game, that saw the Tennessee Titans step up and take over first place, or at least a share of first place in the AFC Southern Division. And we all know what the theme of the game last night was, screw job last night. We've had a lot of bad beats over the years, but that ranks right up there. I look forward to talking football with Dave. And I'll ask Dave Malinsky, actually, what his worst beat is, as he's been betting on football for a long time. So, yeah, listen, we got some great guests. Let's get right down to business right now. Now, on yesterday's program, of course, it was another edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday? And I was really hoping I wouldn't be standing here right now doing an edition of Who Ruined Your Monday? But here we are right now. So who ruined my Monday? Well, it's pretty clear. The National Football League ruined my Monday. You know, when I focused in on who ruined your Sunday this week, pretty much not so much on the teams, but on the overall general insanity of the National Football League and its unpredictable nature. But we've said often this year that, you know, the quality of football is bad. The officiating's at an all-time low right now. And I don't understand what the point of having, you know, replay is and reviewing plays are if you're not going to get it right anyways. You know, time and time again, so horribly officiated football games on a nightly basis right now. You know, something has to be done. Forget about, like, the refs being full-time, okay? It doesn't matter whether they're full-time or not. You know what the problem is? And I respect senior citizens as much as anybody, but they're too old, man. You've got like 68-year-old lawyers, insurance salesmen, and real estate agents running up and down the field trying to keep up with dudes in their mid-20s that run 4-4. It doesn't make sense. And I don't even think they can see when they replay, when they look at the review and they replay these things. It's absolutely freaking ridiculous. Last night was an atrocity, man. It was a joke. The league is a joke. You don't know what a damn catch is anymore. Now, first off, that late sequence in a football game, Jacoby Brissett and the Colts got screwed over. It was a bad spot. It should have been like fourth and inches as opposed to the fourth and a yard and a half in which it turned into. Then, I don't know what the hell Jacoby Brissett was doing on the play call when he was running for the corner there. You know, seriously, I've seen Brett Favre run faster in Wrangler's jeans commercials than Jacoby Brissett ran last night. You know, the guy's like, you know, sort of jogging for the first down. Then he reaches out, gets the first down. They review it. They still get it wrong after the fact. And then, of course, one of the worst beats ever. I've been betting on football since 1982. So I've seen some bad beats along the way. And it's amazing how, I don't know, I've been on the wrong side of most of these bad beats. Although I did have the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of Mondays ago. And that's what this comes down to, doesn't it? You know, sometimes Lord Gambler giveth, Lord Gambler taketh away. Yet last night, what was so aggravating about this is, you know, we had the Colts at plus 6.5 was the spread right before kickoff. I didn't want it at 6.5, so I bought the half point up to 7. I felt pretty good about things. We hit the over. We gave you the over. The teaser was about to come in. And I said, all right, we're going to hit the over. we're going to win the teaser. We're going to win a bunch of props. We're going to get a push. And I was actually mad about the push. I was like, man, I wish I had this at 7.5. I was mad about the push. And then suddenly, Derrick Henry, for one reason or another, decides to run for a 72-yard touchdown. And, you know, the Colts completely gave up on a damn play. Henry should have just taken a knee on it and went down, but it is what it is. And if ends and butts were all candies and nuts, we wouldn't be getting screwed over every Monday night, right? But my question is, did he step out of bounds? I don't know. You know, I'm hosting a podcast at the time. I got a TV about 15 feet away from me. And I'm looking and I'm saying, I don't know, man. Looks like he just stepped out of bounds anyways. This, you know, we should be all right. But I don't know. They never reviewed it. They never reviewed it. You know, that's my issue here. Did he step out of bounds? I don't know. I can't tell from the grainy pictures. You know, I've seen other pictures where it looks like he didn't step out of bounds. I've seen pictures where it looks like he did step out of bounds. We'll never know. I don't know. The broadcast decided not to show a damn replay. Because, you know, that's typical, isn't it? Because they never show replays of touchdowns. No, they didn't want to show the replay of this one. And it's funny how, you know, that Gruden and McDonough, and I like McDonough. McDonough does a good job of not kissing the NFL's ass too much. He'll call out bad calls. But McDonough clearly got the memo. We're not reviewing this. Just don't bring it up and move on. Now, the National Football League, evidently, I think he was out of bounds. Otherwise, the NFL wouldn't have announced today that, well, you know, we didn't review it. It was our call. Well, why didn't you review it? In a league that all you guys give a crap about is rules. You know, you guys care about what kind of damn socks players wear. You care about, oh, you can't wear Beats by Dre because we got another sponsor. You can't talk about an iPad because we got a tablet. You're all about freaking rules, except you don't follow your own rules. You know, that's the thing that drives me crazy about this. If you're supposedly the premier league in the world, which you're not, but if you're supposedly the premier league in the world, then would you figure then you'd get it damn right? I don't care if there's 47 seconds left in a touchdown supposedly meaningless. You know, the NFL's saying, well, you know what? Who's going to get screwed over anyways? This is what Vegas does with boxing. They'll screw you over on the decision props, the unanimous decision props. Soccer, the guys that fix soccer matches, they don't fix the damn game. They fix the props in the game, so nobody will really bitch and notice. So the NFL's thinking, well, who's really going to care whether he's out of bounds or not? Everybody's going to freaking care. There's hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billion-plus dollars, that exchange hands on this, all right? We're talking about the side. We're talking about the teaser totals. We're talking about fantasy impact, all right? And if you're the National Football League, you advertise fantasy. You push fantasy football. Well, you know what? It's hard to play fantasy football if we don't know whether a guy stepped out of bounds or not. It's amazing, man. Every time I think the National Football League gets more candy ass and more incompetent, they prove me wrong. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm trying not to get too mad about last night. Listen, when you bet on sports every day, you know, as I stated off top of the program, Lord gambleth giveth, Lord gambler taketh. You know, a couple of weeks ago, was it last week? It's hard to keep track of the time, but we were on the Kansas City Chiefs against the Redskins in that football game. But I happened to be heavier on the game last night, and it's amazing, man. As I stated, I thought I was smart because I was 6.5 and I bought it up to 7. And I was like, well, at least me paying that half point and buying some insurance actually comes into play. I hit the over in the football game and I'm sitting on an Indianapolis Colt plus 13.5 over teaser that really, I'm going to be honest, I was already starting to count the money. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky batting leadoff. We've got a great show today. Tony Sincott is going to join us. Coach Nick, B-ball breakdown, probably the most popular basketball analyst, modern guy out there on YouTube right now. Coach Nick joins us. Great to have Coach Nick part of the rotation. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky right now. Sportsbookreview.com. You can read Dave's daily column, Vegas Point Blank. It's right there on the front page of the website. Me and Dave were actually talking last night doing a podcast during this football game, but Dave logged off right before the end of this football game, Dave. So, you know, we know what happened, but I was wondering, you know, it's a bad beat. It's one of the worst beats that I've had. What's the worst beat that you've had, Dave? A similar situation like this? Or is it another sport? What's your worst beat ever?
You know, I have one that is an all-timer that I don't think will ever be topped. And it was a baseball game between Texas and Oakland back in, I think, 2003. And I've got over nine. And it's 16-7, Texas. But in the bottom of the ninth, they went to a rain delay. And this was an afternoon. It was a Wednesday afternoon game. Because the game was one-sided, they didn't let it stay in a delay too long because the umpires had to get on a plane. They had an assignment in another city the next day. So imagine over nine, the game was 16-7. You win the bet by 14 runs. And there's basketball and football don't have an equivalent of winning a baseball bet by 14 runs.
Yeah.
And it only went as a refund because the home team didn't finish the bottom of the ninth.
To me, and we've discussed this rule in the past, Dave, to me that's the most ridiculous rule that bookies, sports books came up with this baseball rule. It makes no sense, especially, you know, you can make an argument that they would null and void the game after five innings, Dave, on the side, but not the total. The total's already been established. That's a winner. And if I was a sports book operator and director, I would pay people out for that. And to be honest with you, some sports books now, with their live in-game wagering, once a game, if you win a bet, oftentimes some books will pay you in-game right now. But not in Las Vegas and not in 2003 as well, Dave. But this rule still stands right now officially, and it's the stupidest rule in betting.
Yeah, it's just someone has to take the time to go to the gaming control board and petition for a change because it's one of these where nobody has a beef. If somebody bets under and it goes over, they deserve to lose. They don't have any beef in there.
Yep.
So it's something that should get done, but just no one has taken the lead on it.
It's a crazy world we live in, Dave. Now, you know, there's always like the ambulance chasing attorney ads on TV all the time. You know, do you have this? Do you suffer from that? Did you get into an accident? Did you get fired? Did you get injured at work? You go on, like you go down the list. I saw there's a new one out there, Dave, now. It's, do you owe money for unpaid bills and are you being harassed by debt collectors? We can get you $1,000 for every time that the debt collector has harassed you. And I'm thinking, what a world we live in right now, Dave. You know?
Yeah, but this is a bad timing to bring this up because you're throwing that at people. And guess what is about to start in a couple of hours? Now, yeah, again, we talk about baseball bad beats, blah, blah, football bad beats, blah, blah. The circus comes to town again tonight, and between now and the end of the NBA regular season, there is more of that type of shenanigans and endgames going on by far than any other sport.
And you're of course, speaking of the NBA, which we'll get to. And it's funny because the NFL, I think the officiating is at an all-time bad. And I'd like to see, and I was going to say, what an era that we live in now that you can sue people, Dave, because you owe them money. That's like, I was like, wow, I've seen it all right now. But I was thinking, I'd love to get an attorney in a class action lawsuit. Do you feel that you unjustly lost a point spread bet betting on a National Football League game? You know, call Jones, Smith, and Johnson Law Firm, and we'll get your money back. Because, you know, that's how I feel last night. Incompetent reffing, Dave, from the spots. I mean, it's to the point now, the NFL should almost consider going to what college does and just review the plays that they need to review instead of asking players. Because you talk about dumb rules, Dave. How stupid is it that you can be out of challenges even if you're right all the time? And how going to be, well, we know we're wrong, but, you know, you're out of challenges. Or it's within 2 minutes and we got to catch a flight or I got a date with a hooker at the hotel that I booked. So I'm getting out of here. We're not reviewing this. It's freaking ridiculous, Dave, when there's money at stake. It's bush league.
If I'm betting on
like, you know, Filipino D-League basketball, I expect some shenanigans. I'm betting on the NFL. I'm expecting at least a professional operation that they will review, call, and do by the book for regulation time, Dave.
Well, and guess what? NFL history is filled with this era before replay even existed. So think about all those results through the years that don't have a whole lot of integrity built into them. But you know what it is? It's just the best that can be done with big and fast athletes that can't be kept up with by officials on the field. And one thing I always say is the officiating in general is bad, but the officials themselves, the individual guys, don't do too bad because it's an impossible job. And when the NBA starts tonight in particular, watch these guys, because I think the NBA officials do a phenomenal job given what they have to work with. And when everybody says, how can you possibly think that? See, here's what you do. Next time you go to the optometrist's office for your eye exam, here's how you take your exam. Take it jogging past the chart, not sitting and looking at it, and also while the chart is also moving, and see how well you do at it.
I don't even know. Optometrist. What's that? I'm not even sure, Dave. My eyes aren't great. I've been considering getting that laser surgery, but I'm kind of a wuss. And I'm a little bit worried about that, to be honest. Okay, so let's jump in here, Dave. NFL football. It's a poorly officiated league. And it's the worst officiated. I think the refs are too old, Dave. I think, you know, they're doing the best under the circumstances. They're too old. I mean, we got to get some refs in their 30s here, some athletic, fit dudes that can keep up. I mean, these guys can't see anything. The game's just going too fast. For the record, I think the best officials out of any sport are NHL hockey refs. The speed of the game, these guys got to skate. They're actually athletic. That's not easy. But the quality of the reffing in the National Football League is at an all-time low. And it's the same guys every week. It's the same guys. They're all useless. Morelli's an idiot. Carenti sucks. What's the guy's name? Stachatore? What's his name, Dave? The guy that does college basketball as well, Stachatore?
Stachatore, yeah.
Yeah, he blows too. Him and his kids suck. Pete Morelli's the worst. Ed Hockley's freaking terrible. Vinovich is a clown. I'll go down the list. Like, they're terrible. The last good ref in the NFL was Mike Carey.
Yeah, and the problem is, in the modern era, where there's so much more passing going on, you've got two things that are just about impossible to call. One is pass interference down the field, and the other is holding in the pass blocking. Those are so very difficult. But again, what we see isn't what the refs see, and I think that's where the average viewer
gets twisted
a little bit. We see these holding calls close up on our big screens, these pass interference close up on the big screens. These officials are 30, 40 feet away from the plays a lot of times, and they're moving while they're making the calls. What can they do? You would actually have to add more officials so that they could be a little more stationary. I mean, what the NBA almost needs is like a tennis official for pro basketball. Have someone literally sitting on top of the backboard, not moving, being there the entire time.
Like a goal line judge in hockey. That's all his job is. Did the puck cross the line? Yes or no? You don't look at anything else besides the line.
That's it. It's so difficult to have moving officials. And here's what actually impresses me about the NBA. Players play about 35 minutes, even the stars, 35 minutes a game. The officials got to play the whole 48. They don't get their periods. Start of the second quarter, we're going to rest the starters. Well, you don't rest the officials and put other officials there. These guys have to get up and down the court the entire 48 minutes every night. So it's an impossible job being thrown at them.
Dave, and you know, one thing I will say about this before we get to the NFL games, I've never stood on the sidelines of an NFL football game, but I've been on the sidelines of a college game. I've been on the sidelines of a CFL game. And as you stated, it's a completely different world down there. It's scary. Like, guys are a lot faster in real life than you realize, man. Guys are flying around. It's going fast. And I brought this up. You know, a lot of these refs are in their 60s, et cetera, Dave. I'm amazed they don't get killed more. They actually do a good job of staying out of the way. I mean, people don't realize there's no way in hell, Dave, that I'd want to be standing in the middle of the linebacking core in an NFL football game without an ounce of equipment on with these guys running at me. It's insanity.
No, it's why I like the vantage point that you and I have so much better.
Yeah, I know people don't realize that. Like, watch your ref next time. The guy's like 70 years old. You'll see he's right there with the linebackers. It's like, yeah, you know, they don't want to run him over, but yeah, it's not fun. Like I said, I nearly got run over by Terrence Nunn, Nebraska player. He was coming right at me. I was like, dear God, man, this guy's about to kill me. Like, I got, like, fearful. I've had guns to my head and was less scared. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's coming at me. It was Roberson, too, the Northwestern kid, scared the crap out of me. Yeah, it's dangerous down there, man. All right, so, Dave, let's jump in. Yeah, it's dangerous everywhere. It's dangerous on the field. It's dangerous betting on these games. So, week 7, this season is weird. It doesn't feel like we're in the week 7. We're nearly at the halfway mark. The season's really moving along, isn't it?
Part of it is there's been so much back and forth flow, and that it's not like we're seeing the same thing happen every week. And when you see the same thing every week, there's a different type of dynamic to it. There is not anything resembling a great team across the league right now. That's why the time flow is a little different.
All right, so the stakes are getting higher. We've got some important football games this week. I'd say the season's on the line for the Raiders in this one. Raiders lose this one. That's four in a row. I think it's going to be too much to overcome. A massive game. We'll see if the Chiefs can get back on track there. They're laying 3 points. Falcons and Patriots, you and I kicked the tires on this game a little bit. Massive game for the Atlanta Falcons psyche right now. Specifically, blowing the 28-3 lead, obviously. Blowing the 17-0 lead last week. Now having to go to Foxborough to take on this team. If they don't win, it could be tough for them to pick themselves up off the mat. And now the suddenly trendy Philadelphia Eagles, who are plus 375 favorites to win the NFC, host the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football. And I tell you what, this Redskins team is in the mix right now. And I think this Saints team, suddenly, that gets a beat-up Green Bay team, could play themselves into the mix. But like I said, it's wide open right now, Dave, in the NFC. And as far as the AFC is concerned, the Chiefs look like the best team. The Steelers are always right there. You have a Patriot team you can't discount, but the Pats have given up 300 or more yards to all six quarterbacks that they played this year and haven't exactly played a long list of Pro Bowlers either. This stuff really is wide open right now.
Well, let's get to some tangibles. And I think Atlanta's a good place to start. Envision this, the last two games, playing at home, playing as a big favorite, they get outscored 33-7 in the second half by the Bills and the Dolphins. Two pretty mediocre teams. What are we seeing? That drop down from Kyle Shanahan to Steve Sarkisian has been a monstrous one. Atlanta scoring 9.5 fewer points per game than last year, gaining 40 yards. That's they're gaining 0.5 yard less for every snap of the ball than last year. That shows you that, yeah, they were going to lose Shanahan. There was nothing they could do about that. But bringing in Steve Sarkisian, who has no appreciable NFL experience at all, that has had a big impact on the Falcons. It's one thing for New England to give up what they gave up to some of the early passers. Yeah, they saw Drew Brees. They saw the Kansas City offense. But, Gabe, they gave up over 300 yards passing to Josh McCown and the Jets. Tells you that they've got problems like Atlanta that might not necessarily be fixable. The two Super Bowl teams last year are only a little better than average right now.
Total's up to 55. It still hasn't scared me away yet, Dave. You mentioned the Falcons aren't scoring as much, but this could this Patriot defense could be what solves their offensive woes a bit.
Yeah, in the past, ordinarily, I would like Belichick and Matt Patricia to maybe outsmart Steve Sarkisian. But just the fact that they haven't been able to outsmart anybody else tells us that there's a personnel issue in there that they just can't solve yet.
Well, Mike McCarthy's not known for outsmarting a lot of coaches. He got pretty testy and fired up about the Kaepernick questions. And you know what? He raises a good point when he said, I've got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley. I've got 2 years invested in Joe Callahan. We're going with the guys that we have right now. And that's a legitimate answer right now. The question is, what does Brett Hundley bring to the table? Very athletic, Dave, at UCLA, but the kid really hasn't played football in 3 years. What do you make of this?
It's a tough transition for him. Because here's a storyline to follow during the week. The five offensive linemen the Packers had on the field at the end of the game against Minnesota, those were the only five guys left. Only one original starter was still out there. It got so bad that Justin McCray, who didn't start the game, he played three different positions in the offensive line because guys kept going down. Here's the problem for this week. Green Bay's got a bye next Sunday. So all the guys that are dinged up, do they give them this week off so that they get a couple of weeks to recuperate? In which case, that makes it real difficult for Hundley. He wasn't on the field the whole game Sunday. Still three interceptions and four sacks because that offensive line in front of him is a disaster area right now.
Dave Malinsky's daily column available for free. It's right there on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. Check it out, guys. So let's talk some baseball, Dave. Astros and Yankees on the board. We got a piece of the Bombers last night. We cashed that ticket. They were laying 35 cents earlier in the morning. I'm seeing it's up to 45 right now. You know, it's funny. You and I talked about Roark last week, and you said, you know, he's a nice guy to have in the rotation during the regular season, but can he win a big game? I'm looking at Sonny Gray like this as well. A guy that's going to eat up innings, and, you know, I know he's lost 8 of his last 12 decisions since he's become a New York Yankee, Dave, but he's a good pitcher, and he's the type of guy you want in your rotation throughout the regular season. But the question is he the type of guy that you want on the hill when you're trailing 2-1 in the American League Championship Series?
I think he got wild cards on both sides. Sonny Gray really struggled down the stretch, struggled against Cleveland in his first playoff appearance. Lance McCullers was just terrible since coming back after the All-Star break. An earned run average of over 8 second half of the season. He struggled against the Red Sox in Fenway. With both guys scuffling right now, I'm going to look for a little first 5 innings over here. That 4.5 isn't that bad. We can get a crooked inning against one of these guys out there. I don't want to deal with the bullpens in the latter stages, but give me the first 5 innings over here. I'm not sure if either guy could snap his fingers and get back to form.
I like where you're going now with that, actually, Dave. We should mention Altuve's 11-31 versus Gray, lighting it up in the postseason as well, 481. And, you know, you look at star players, and not often, you know, a lot of times star players aren't going to deliver in the postseason, but it's amazing. He's delivering even more so in the postseason. I think the Astros bounce back in this spot, guys. I think the Astros bounce back. I was on the Yankees last night. McCullers is a wild card. I really like where Dave's going with this for the first 5 innings in this. But, Dave, overall, I got to lean with the Astros here in this baseball game. And very interesting. I got to be honest with you. I didn't realize it was a 2-3-2 format again with this stuff, which I don't like, the 2-3-2 format. But it is a 2-3-2 format, so suddenly, this is a big game for the Astros as well. They don't want to be tied at 2 with another game in New York.
No, it's a big, big, big game for the psyche, and that's why I'm wondering if maybe there's a little too much pressure on McCullers. Because if you're dealing with hard throwers, under pressure, the hard thrower can reach back and do what he does. McCullers and Gray aren't hard throwers. McCullers got to be able to snap that curveball off well, so the pressure on him might elevate a little bit. Gray's got to be able to work the edges of the strike zone. The pressure on him can elevate a little bit. It's rare that we see two guys struggling as bad as they do, or bad as they're struggling, in the middle of October against each other, so let's take advantage of it.
Dodgers and Cubs this evening should be interesting. I was looking for the wind, Dave. I'm seeing 17-mile-an-hour winds in Chicago. Total's 8.5 in this baseball game. The Dodgers are undefeated in the postseason, guys. You know, they had the sweep. Now they won the first 2. That's 5 in a row for the Dodgers. The Dodgers have been a very streaky team this year, as we've seen with their prolonged winning tear and then their losing streak as well. Dodgers pitching, holding the Cubbies down. Cubs hitting just .117 in the series. Darvish was rock solid in his only start versus the D-backs. Hendricks has sort of been designated as the quote-unquote ace of the Chicago Cubs, but he struggled in Game 5 in that must-win situation against the Washington Nationals. Gave up 4 runs early, Dave. You know, it seems like a lot of people are going to, wow, the Cubs will win this game, sort of like the Yankees did. They're not going to go down 3-0. I'm not so sure. I think we have a live dog with the Dodgers tonight.
Yeah, there's this perception that it's been a close series because the first 2 games were close into the latter innings. Really hasn't been. Base runners are 26-9 in favor of the Dodgers. They've added up 13-7. They've drawn 13 walks to only 2 for the Cubs. It really hasn't been that close on the field. Yu Darvish, first time he had to step up late in the season for the Cubs, stepped up really well. It's been a lot of juice coming out of his arms. If we go back, his last 4 starts, 28 strikeouts, 11 hits, 1 walk. That is Sandy Koufax type of stuff. So if we can get anything, even money or better on the Dodgers, that's the wrong price for where these teams are right now.
Not to mention these Cubs batters haven't seen Darvish much. I know he pitched once last year at Wrigley when he was with the Rangers, and that's it. So they haven't seen Darvish much either. All right. Producer's telling me we've only got a couple of minutes. Dave, let's talk some basketball. I'm fired up for some NBA basketball. Light movement here too, man. Last night you and I were talking. The Cavs were laying 3.5. I woke up this morning. It was 4. I hit refresh about 45 minutes ago, and it was back to 3.5 again. So we're going back and forth on that one. Total remains strong at 212.5. Kyrie Irving, of course, returns to Cleveland. If you guys have been in football and baseball mode and you're like, Dwayne Wade, what's on the Cavs now? That's right. Dwayne Wade's reunited with LeBron James. And Derrick Rose is the point guard right now. Isaiah Thomas is going to be out until late December or January or so. Jose Calderon and Derrick Rose handle the point guard duties right now, along with Dwayne Wade in the backcourt. And then we got the Rockets and the Warriors tonight, down to 9, total down to 229, Dave. I like the Cavs, and I like the over in that game. And, you know, the Rockets and the Warriors, I sort of want to watch the in-game to get a feel for the pace and the tempo, but I got to give a pick on the show, and I decided to give people the Warriors minus the 9 points.
Yeah, you wonder about both of these road dogs being ready to play tonight. I mean, here's your Boston starting lineup. Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford. Horford, the only guy that was with the Celtics last year. 10 of the 14 on the roster weren't with them last year. It takes time to build a chemistry. And I'm not sure how long it's going to take for this Boston chemistry to come together, especially with a score-first point guard mentality from Irving. Will he get the other guys involved well enough? So it looks like LeBron's going to play. If he plays, I think this price is a little short. I don't think the Celtics are ready. And I don't think the Rockets are ready yet. You know, Chris Paul missed 2 of the last 3 preseason games. They've got some chemistry issues. These are matchups that look great on paper when the NBA put them out there. But I'm not sure either of these road teams are ready to be anywhere near their A-level yet.
And we could have a lot of this year, actually, Dave, out of the gate with a lot of teams. There's so much turnover this year. And, you know, Gruden dropped a quick comment last night about Brissett. And, oh, you know, this isn't basketball where you can just become the point guard and step in. And I'm thinking, come on, Gruden, you're better than that. You're smarter than that because it does take a while. We saw the big three with the Heat took a while. We saw Kevin Durant last year. I remember people were laughing at the Warriors earlier. Oh, it's not working out with Kevin Durant there. It took about 6 weeks, and then boom. How'd that work out after the fact? So you're right. It could take these teams a little bit of a while. We haven't had an opportunity to read Dave's column today, but I will when I get home after. We encourage you to do it right now. Go over to sportsbookreview.com, Vegas Point Blank, right there on the front page. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky, man. I always love talking sports with Dave Malinsky. It makes us a lot smarter. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to focus exclusively on these basketball games tonight. Coach Nick, B-Ball Breakdown, joins us next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. The countdown to tip-off is on, and it really is amazing, isn't it? We had the most active and discussed NBA season ever this year, yet now that the real games are upon us, it kind of snuck up on us. I think it's because they open up on a Tuesday night. You know, the NBA does a lot of things right. They don't really, you know, go all out with the NBA tip-off type of stuff. Maybe a Thursday night would be better. Maybe a weekend, et cetera. You know, maybe really make a big deal about the opening. But it's sort of like, oh, yeah, by the way, we have the Warriors playing the Rockets tonight on TV if you're interested. But it's going to be interesting this year. We just talked about this with Dave Malinsky. About there's so many teams with so many new faces, and unlike what Coach Gruden said last night, no, you can't just drop a player on the court and he can become a point guard. Basketball does take a while to build up the chemistry. All right, so now that basketball's here, let's just quickly remind you, a great place to play some fantasy basketball is over at Dober Games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober Dog Games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. You just pick 3 matchups, guys. So they basically set a bunch of players and it'll say over-under fantasy points for the player. You just pick over-under. You're not playing against anybody else. You don't have to spend 2 hours putting a lineup together. You don't have to worry about a bunch of nerds from MIT beating you. You pick the three matchups correctly, and they'll give you 6-1 back. I'm going to start playing tonight, actually. I'm going to open up an account. I wanted to do it yesterday. I didn't have time. I'm going to open up an account at Dober.games today, and I'm not just saying that. I will use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. That's promo code PUNT. Check out Dober.games for your fantasy action. And the best part about these guys is you can mix and match different sports. So, you can take an NFL fantasy matchup and play it with an NBA, et cetera. Dober.games. Let's bring in a man that I'm very excited to have back in the rotation to talk basketball. B-Ball Breakdown is one of the most popular YouTube pages out there. You can subscribe. Go to YouTube.com. Subscribe to B-BallBreakdown.com. You can follow B-Ball Breakdown on Twitter as well. The one and only, the legend, Coach Nick, returns to Game Time Decisions. How you doing, Coach? Always a pleasure, my man.
Oh, I know it's the season starting when I get to hop on with you and start talking some hoops, so I am jazzed.
Well, we're just glad you're not all big time, and you haven't said, I don't have time for Morenci, you know?
Always have time for you, man.
No, you've joined us on, like, Christmas Day, I think, before and stuff, like, or Christmas Eve or whatever, yeah. You've been there for us, Coach. All right, so we got the Celtics and the Cavs tonight. Cavs are small favorites. I'm really interested to see how they're going to play together, this Boston Celtic unit. On paper, it's an impressive, it's somewhat impressive, but, you know, maybe, the pessimist in me looks at this roster and says, are they going to play defense? Who's going to rebound the basketball with the Boston Celtics? Two things they didn't do very well last year, and the guys that they brought in aren't exactly known for doing that right now. What's your take, Coach?
I agree, but I do think that they're a little bit better across the board either way. So while you might suffer a little bit from, you know, you're lacking a lockdown defenders like an Avery Bradley, you still have Smart out there. You still have Horford, who is positionally pretty good but doesn't defend the rim that well. But you're right. The rebounding is going to be something very concerning for them. But I do like, so far, the little bit of evidence we've seen with Kyrie and with Gordon Hayward. Already you're going to replace an Isaiah Thomas on defense with a Kyrie, who I believe has it in him to be a better defender than most people think he's been. He did make some incredibly timely defensive plays in the utmost pressure of the finals that we've seen him do that. So I think that'll be an okay thing for them. And the real question, like you said, is can they gel? How long will it take to gel? And what they have as an advantage is Brad Stevens behind them, who is one of those coaches that knows how to talk to players.
How do you guard LeBron tonight? Who matches up against him?
Like what? Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's the thing. I'm looking like it's not Hayward. It's not,
right. I think Morris
Horford?
Is out, right? He's hurt?
Pardon me?
Morris is out.
Exactly. And it would have been Morris. So I'm thinking Marcus Smart's probably my best defender, right?
Yeah, but then they're going to have to double, and that's going to be a problem. We'll see how the Cavaliers hit because Marcus Smart, you know, he's just not going to be able to keep him out of the lane. That said, maybe LeBron ends up going off for like the 50. They shut everyone else down, and they can win. And that could very well be what they're going to try and do, just make him work and see how that goes.
Because, they really don't have anybody to guard him, do they, from a stylistic matchup.
Right, which is why LeBron's going to play tonight, right? He's going to have to look at that and say, I'm going to go no matter what.
He has to with this Kyrie stuff, right? He has to.
Yeah.
He has to. Okay, so I like Cleveland. I'm not going to force you for a pick, but I think Cleveland, I like the fact there's less chemistry issues with Cleveland here tonight. I know, listen, Kyrie Irving's not there. That doesn't make him a better team. Derrick Rose isn't Kyrie Irving right now. But you still have LeBron. Dwayne Wade and LeBron are interchangeable to me. You still have the Smiths, the Shumperts. They're not starting over. Tristan Thompson, et cetera. You're not starting over here. And, you'll get Isaiah Thomas back around Christmas time.
Right. Well, you do have two problems then because you have the J.R. Smith not starting for Wade issue, which could be a chemistry thing. And then you also have a Derrick Rose thing, which I suspect he'll get really comfortable in that starting role. And when Isaiah Thomas comes back, you're going to have to really figure out what's going to happen. And that said, Rose looks pretty good. He looks pretty spry. He looks pretty bouncy on those legs. So he might actually end up on a better team like this. He might be good and better than we've seen him since he played for the Bulls, I suppose. So that could be a real interesting conundrum, and I don't know how Isaiah's going to take that or how Derrick Rose is going to take it when whoever doesn't start is on the bench to begin the game.
Yeah, it's a weird deal, and Isaiah's contract is up. I think LeBron's going to leave. It's a weird year in Cleveland this year. Okay, so the other game tonight is the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, I like the Jordan Bell kid they picked up from the Ducks. I don't know why the Bulls helped them out. Why would you help the Warriors out at all? Swaggy P will be coming off the bench right now. A little excitement and entertainment right there. Chris Paul and Harden's the backcourt. Ryan Anderson, Capella, and Ariza up front. What's your take on this Rocket team, and will there be chemistry issues with the Rockets earlier? Do you think this will be a smooth transition?
It looks like it's been pretty smooth so far, so I anticipate them really being able to figure some stuff out. But it seems clear to me that what the Rockets are intending to do here is to outscore the Warriors. And I think that's what anyone's going to have to do, because you ain't going to beat them by shutting them down. So you're going to have to win 126-123. And I feel like that's what the Rockets are building towards here. And had they gotten Melo, that's really what they would have had to have done. So as it is now, they do have some good defensive parts that can come off the bench and make some life difficult for them. So we'll have to kind of see how it plays out through the year and then how they get their rotations down. But that's what it kind of feels like to me, is that that's what they're going to need to do. And so far, it looks like, you know, each of those guys, Harden and CP3, are being able to handle being off the ball a little bit. And then as long as they stagger the minutes a little bit to give them each that run where they are just the main ball handler, I think they can keep them happy and keep the team dangerous.
Unfortunately, Coach, I'm already getting the hook. I don't get a lot of playing time. Coach is Popovich calling me back in here. But quickly on this, Oklahoma City Thunder are 18-1. Minnesota Timberwolves are 35-1. Maybe not these two teams. Is there an NBA team out here that we should keep an eye on that you like that people aren't talking about enough?
Why not the Bucks? Why can't the Bucks be like third in the conference and make a run in the playoffs? I feel like they've been kind of waiting to take that spot, and it feels like this is their chance.
Yeah, it looks like a dangerous team. I can't disagree with that. Thanks, Coach. I wish we had more time, but it's always a pleasure. We'll speak again.
Got it. I'm in.
Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com. Check him out if you already haven't. It's a great, great follow. Take a quick break. The Tony Sincotta joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and yes, I am as comfortable as I look in this DX Racer chair. Great chair for you gamers at home. Also great for you bettors just to watch the games in. Very stylish looking as well. Very modern, as you can see. The DX Racer, I believe you get a 15% discount. FNTSY 2017, I believe the promo code is. And I'm actually going to use it. I'm going to use that promo code. I'm not kidding. I do a lot of shows at home, man. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. This DX Racer's taken 7 years. It's made me 7 years younger. Thanks, DX Racer. Let's bring in the Tony Sincotta. You can follow him at the Tony Sincotta on Twitter. Lineup Lock Live, 6-7 on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. And don't forget, Sincotta's on from 11-3 Radio, Fantasy Sports Network Radio. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. What a beautiful day, right? You got we're doing football almost every day, but you got basketball, you got baseball today.
You got everything. Great time.
And if you're Gabe Morrissey, you probably get like Australian rules football or something as well, right?
Yeah, a little badminton. Last night, even me, after the letdown, horrible beat last night, Tony, in the football game. We got screwed in that play.
Oh.
I lost. That was about a $700 swing for me. Like, literally, I lost $700 as that happened. So just, you know, this the pit of my stomach. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man.
So I teased Tennessee, and I teased the over. So I lost two on that. I mean, the under. So I lost on that one, too. But I got to ask you about, is this qualify as a bad beat? I had the under in the Jaguars game this weekend, right? It was 42. So there was 34 points scored in the first quarter. 3 minutes into the third quarter, there were 41 minutes. And then 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, it went over with a meaningless field goal. and I want, and I was at the game. I was at the game.
So you're looking at the clock the whole time, then, all right?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing worse than being at the game and getting screwed. All right, so let's jump in right now. Time is flowing by really quickly. It's too bad the Falcons and the Pats, Tony's not part of the Millionaire Maker lineup because, of course, the Patriots have allowed every quarterback this year. First team in NFL history, guys, put that in your pipe. They were the first team in NFL history to allow five guys, the first five games, to go over 300 yards. Now make it six in a row. There, that's not part of the Millionaire Maker lineup. Brett Hundley is... I was surprised that Brett Hundley was a little cheaper, man, at $5,100. Got a nice matchup against the Saints here, but not very cheap at $5,100, Tony.
No, I think what you have to do here is I was looking at the same thing, and there's no way I can go there. I'll tell you what, we're definitely got the quarterbacks distorted this week. I think Matt Ryan's the only guy to play, right? He's not eligible for the Millionaire Maker. I think the next guy is Kirk Cousins against the Philadelphia second. That's on Monday night, not in the lineup, right? Then, who is he playing against? Carson Wentz against the Redskins secondary, who I think is the most overrated. Those three guys out. So I'm down to Dak Prescott and Marcus Mariota. Those are the two guys, I think. Mariota's the guy coming off the injury there. But those are the two quarterbacks I'm looking at. And it looks like to me, I'm going to play Dak Prescott this week.
And we saw Mariota start to look better as the game went on yesterday.
Yes.
You noticed the accuracy started to come back. And it, what, are they playing the Cleveland Browns? I mean, it seems like whatever quarterback plays the Cleveland Browns, right? What do the Browns give up the fourth, fifth most points to fantasy quarterbacks?
The one thing to recognize, too, is that Eric Decker looked healthy. He hasn't looked healthy all year. Eric Decker was a big part of that game in the second half last night. If he's healthy, they got some receiving threats with Rashad Matthews, Eric Decker, Delanie Walker. Then they bring the rookie Corey Davis going to play. They're going to have a lot of weapons for Marcus Mariota. And he only went outside the pocket one time. That hurts your fantasy totals, but it makes him more of a complete passer. Didn't put up big numbers, even though he had 300 yards pass, because he only had the one touchdown and one interception. I think came in about 16 fantasy points. But against Cleveland, he gets in that end zone a couple times. We're looking good.
What do you do then, Tony, for the Sunday-Monday contest with all those the stud four quarterbacks? You got Ryan, you got Brady, you got Cousins, you got Wentz. Are you just going to go with the cheapest guy?
No, you can't. Like, you know what? I'm just convinced. The New England Patriots are that bad. Matt Ryan lost to the Miami Dolphins last week. Julio Jones, the head coach, can't figure out why he can't get the ball. You're the head coach. You already blew a Super Bowl. You're absolutely ridiculous. Go ask the offensive coordinator how you don't get the best receiver in football the ball more. He's got one red zone target. They complained they only had nine of all last year. Julio Jones has one red zone target.
Tonight, Tony, NBA tip-off, little NBA DFS. We got to be quick here. I put together a lineup, and I just hit refresh, and I lost it, and I'm going crazy because I'm not doing the math. And I'm like, who the hell was my point guard? Who the hell was my point guard? But who do you like tonight? It's tough. Two high-profile teams, but it's first game of the year, 30 seconds.
You got to go Kyrie Irving against his former teammates. He's only $8,300. He has to be in play tonight. LeBron James in that other side of the matchup goes in play. I go Kevin Durant over Stephen Curry tonight.
Yep.
And for the cheap plays, Derrick Rose at $5,000. He's going to play with the second unit tonight and the first unit. So I think he eats up the Celtics' second unit.
I got Trevor Ariza in there and a little swaggy P for good measure. Only $3,200.
Good price.
Yeah, why not?
Swaggy P.
We got to get out of here. I can't wait to talk NBA with you. Thanks, Tony.
All right, take care, my man.
Check out Tony at 6 o'clock right here on the Fantasy Sports Television. And we'll come back with our plays of the day next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
It's time for our plays of the day. We got a little bit of something for everybody this afternoon. Let's start off with the baseball game in the Bronx. Give me the Houston Astros. Both pitchers a little bit shaky coming into this contest. We didn't give you the over, but I do lean with the over in this baseball game. I just never win when I bet baseball overs, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was higher scoring. I think the Astros are worth a look at plus money. I think the Dodgers are worth a look as an underdog here. Darvish looked great against the D-back. I think we got a low-scoring game tonight in Wrigley. NBA is back. Boston Celtics are overrated. It's going to take them a little while to come together. Give me the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going to lay the 3.5. Celtics can't rebound. They can't play defense. Game's going to go over the number. We've got Derrick Rose, over 5.5 assists. He's looked real good. Rockets and Warriors are going to be a fun game, but Houston's not in full mode yet. Give me the Warriors minus the 9. Harden, over 28.5 points. Over 31 rebounds and assists for Chris Paul. Points include a little hockey. Maple Leafs, plus 105. Oilers, minus 125. May the winners be yours.